Is now a good time for a flare-up?
I hope your family burns in a house fire, Crohn's.
For adults with moderate to severe Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, Stelara can provide relief and is the only approved medication to reduce inflammation on and below the surface of the intestine and UC.
You getting on that flight?
Fuck you, Crohn's.
Stelara may increase your risk of infection, some serious, and cancer. Before treatment, get tested for TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, sores, new skin growths, have had cancer, or if you need a vaccine. RPLS, a rare potentially fatal brain condition, may be possible. Some serious allergic reactions and lung inflammation can occur.
Lasting remission can start with Stelara.
Suck my fucking dick, Crohn's!
WFOD starts now.
Video, right?
What video?
Of Drunk's mishap.
What was my mishap? My car was just sitting there.
I'm starting to think that Drunk's car is haunted.
Next year's Boogie Month. Like, you made it seem like I was gonna die in my car.
I mean, I'm not gonna say that, but
no, your car is like pristine.
It's not looking good. Not looking good. Guys, hello and welcome to this thing we call the Dubfod. My name is Mike. I am joined by my good friend, Mr. Drunkard STL on the Twitters.
I gotta say that intro music fucks.
It fucks, you think?
Fucks.
I made it too long this time. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
I love it.
I made it too long. I get antsy. I want to get going. And it's like, no, let's keep doing this a doom synth. You know what I'm saying? Do the doom synth.
Like the intro credits for Freddy's Nightmares, the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Guys, Travis Hulse is here as well. Hello, Travis.
Hey-o!
Travis, Drunk sent us a video in our private conversation yesterday. One of his co-workers ran into his car with a forklift.
Drove directly into it.
Yeah, bullseye.
It's one of the most amazing videos I've ever seen, Drunk, because your car is in an empty parking lot. Like, there is nothing in that parking lot except your car.
Yeah, and a scissor lift.
And you put the cart before the horse because you told us one of my coworkers ran a forklift into my car. So it's so satisfying to watch because, like, you just see a car. And you're like, oh, something's going to happen. And then slowly into the frame, this forklift comes. And it does like a U-turn and just runs right into the side of your car.
It like comes, this is how it comes parallel to the passenger side door. But I mean, many, many feet
it's
away.
It's the driver's side door, but it's the like, back seat.
And then it like whips around the car all the way, like a big, like Mike said, U, and then goes directly towards the car. There's nothing there.
Now, if you were Mystery Science Theatering that, Travis, what you'd say is, whoops, missed the car. because he just loops around and fucking nails
and,
it.
Yeah, and then the second beat would be like, "Oops, found it."
He brought it over here, Travis. I saw it. The forklift went through the door, like it looked like you know when the T-1000 opens the elevator.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what the forklift did.
People who aren't familiar with powered industrial trucks, particularly forklifts, that's what forklifts will do.
They're incredibly dangerous machines.
Yeah, if there's something in the way, the forklift is not going to stop. It is going to keep going, and if it's going fork first, the forks are going through whatever is in front of it.
Yeah, whether it be drywall or the steel of a car.
Or human flesh, it does not matter. Right. Operate safely, please.
Travis, I'm pretty excited about it. Coming up after the break, we are going to be talking to the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott. He wrote a book. It's called Original Sin, and we're going to talk to him about it.
So here's issue number one. First of all, whenever you're going down an incline like that, you're supposed to go backwards, not forwards.
That's the number one thing they train you.
Second of all, this
is that because you can't see where you're going because there's
it's more
cargo.
It's more of a center of gravity thing. He could have potentially went ass over tits.
The debate amongst the people who have seen this video drunk is whether this person hates you or not. Is this person?
It's my guy. He's my guy.
Well, I mean, he's your guy, but are you his guy?
Yeah, I am.
Because it looked like this guy said, "Oh, there's drunk's car. Fuck that guy."
So, yeah, I feel like it's less that and more like.
So he's been employed
there's a car I can drive
less than a month. So, I mean, he's fairly new to the forklift. Problem number three, this kid's about 90 pounds soaking wet.
Little bitty guy?
Little bitty guy. And so, he hit a bump on the ramp, which caused him to, even though he is buckled in, made the seat sensor be like, "Hey, there's nobody on this forklift." So, which prompted him to say that there was something wrong with the brakes. Even though there was nothing wrong with the brakes, he was just going way too fast down the hill. And then once he got to the bottom of the hill, he just had his freak out moment of, "Oh, I'm going to turn the wheel. Oh, now I turned the wheel too far." And if you know anything about forklifts, they fucking turn on a fucking dime.
Yeah, it's not like a motor vehicle. It turns right now.
So he just had his freak out moment and it went right into my car.
What he's lucky happened was that as he was cruising down that hill at a good clip, that when he jerked the wheel to the right, that he didn't just tip his ass over.
Right.
Well, would that have been better than crashing into a vehicle?
No.
No, it'd have been way worse.
It'd have been worse.
You yes. don't want to tip over a forklift on its side while you're in it.
Oh. Yeah. And the crazy thing was, I was getting ready to smoke a cigarette, so I was kind of walking towards the ramp as it happened. And I kind of watched it live.
Oh, no.
And as soon as he hit my car, I was like, I think the words that came out are "You fucking kidding me, dude?" I sensed it. And then once I watched the video, two of my wheels came off the ground.
Oh, of course they did.
a guy going pretty fast in a forklift and ran into your car.
Could you imagine if he didn't have that pallet on there? He would have fucking shish kebabbed my car. I don't think my car would have came out.
Yeah, it would have been totaled. So here's the real question. This is the ultimate question. When you take that thing to the Nissan body shop, do you think they'll give you inside of your vehicle a vacuum?
Give it a good vacuum. There.
Does the Nissan dealer do the body work? I think...
You take it to whoever's going to pay for it, who they want to take it to, I would imagine.
Yeah, we got a Chevy garage in town's got a body shop, and so does the Ford garage. Oh, so yeah. I don't know. I guess it depends on your local Nissan dealership.
Travis, I had a very similar situation. My wife and I stayed in a hotel this past week, and we got out of the car.
Ooh la la.
And started walking towards the hotel, and a bus pulled up. It was a entire men's college lacrosse team, and Laura rolled her eyes and she said, "Yeah, that team is gonna all be on our floor. They're gonna put that whole team on our floor." And sure enough, they did. So, you know, you're out in the parking lot and you see horror, and then that horror comes true. So me and Drunk were practically the same this week.
Were they pretty respectful, though?
Once they were not. There? Travis, they were loud. They all wanted to trade rooms throughout the evening. I think once they got comfortable, I think they were in town for like a weekend tournament or something, Travis, because they were there the whole goddamn weekend, and eventually they started bringing girls.
That's how most things are. If it's a weekend,
and I get it, they're kids. You know,
you said it was a high school or college?
It was a college.
Young, dumb, and full of cum.
I was a boy once.
You should have went and tried to mingle, man.
It was annoying though.
Yeah, you could have got some of that leftover puss.
What type of hotel was it?
It was a La Quinta Inn.
Oh, Mike.
You know what La Quinta is Spanish for, right?
What?
Next to Denny's.
You're a grown ass man. You can
say do better than a La Quinta.
Spring for something nicer, Travis, you think?
Stay in a fucking Staybridge or something.
Although I will say, to me, La Quinta's fine. I absolutely will not do anything with a number in it.
Drunk, I asked. We went to Minneapolis. We were at the mall by the Mall of America.
Uh-huh.
And I asked Travis for restaurant advice because he's been there multiple times.
Sure.
And he said, oh, yeah, there's a restaurant across the street from the mall that's pretty nice. And, if you can find this malt shop, I don't remember the name of it, but it's good, too.
Yeah.
So then he started mocking my choices.
I'm sure they have a food court.
Drunk, I went to Wahlburgers, and he's like, oh, yeah, Minnesota tradition, the Wahlburgers.
Yeah, that's a chain. You can get that in St. Louis.
Yeah, guess where else he went?
The Cheesecake Factory.
Oh my God, Mike, you were the worst.
And then what's the third place you went?
I went to Bubba Gump Shrimp. Travis, we're trash people. I get it. I understand.
He stays at a La Quinta Inn. He makes a special trip to the Twin Cities, stays in a fucking La Quinta Inn, goes to a Wahlburgers, a Cheesecake Factory, and a Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Why did you ask me?
I had never been to these establishments.
Minnesota, and I could tell you.
Let me tell you, Travis, most of it wasn't good. The Cheesecake Factory
I know for a fact there's this like
bad
Arabic restaurant that takes up a whole block.
It was bad. And Bubba Gump Shrimp.
A lot of good ethnic.
Bubba Gump Shrimp tasted like it was just microwaved. It was dog shit.
Because it's a chain, dum-dum.
But it's places I had. Wahlburgers was great. I had never been there before. They have a TV show about that. I don't know if you know that.
Sure do.
It's about Mark and Donnie's brother.
Brother.
he makes burgers.
He sure does.
And they have all of the wall decor is about how the Wahlbergs are in movies. Like, hey, guys, remember Saw? Donnie Wahlberg was in that.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's
about,
like a poor man's Planet Hollywood.
Nothing about
back in the day, if you remember that.
New Kids on the Block or the Funky Bunch.
I don't think they mentioned those.
Call Me Danny, Call Me Donnie.
Yeah, they mentioned the television program that Donnie does.
I'm being kind of.
So yeah, Travis,
is that,
at
NCIS.
At the goddamn
Blue Bloods.
La Quinta Inn, they're fighting COVID by only providing housekeeping every 3 days, Travis. That's because on that third day, the COVID has had a chance to die down.
Well,
I guess
give you enough towels and shampoo and whatnot. What else do you need? Why?
I found that the way that hotels combat COVID is to give you less amenities, like to remove all of the room service, to remove the complimentary breakfast, to take away if you're by the mall, to get rid of the airport or the hotel shuttle to the mall. Just do away with that.
Yeah. They're not maintaining the pool. Because of COVID.
The hotel that we stayed in too, it was the same thing where the complimentary breakfast / snack area or whatever was just closed down and they got rid of the mall shuttles. So that, I mean, I didn't get COVID, so I guess what they did worked.
Right. That's right. You didn't get COVID, so it worked. You didn't have room service. But
the shuttle to the airport was still going though, right?
Yeah, there was a couple that showed up at the same time as us, and their plan was just to park at the La Quinta Inn, stay a night, and then get a shuttle to the airport and come back in 4 days, and their car would still be there. And they were unpleasantly surprised to find out that the La Quinta Inn didn't want them to just leave their car there for.
Usually, though, that's not rare that a hotel close to an airport, especially one the size of the MSP airport, would allow you to do that. But I know of the hotels around the mall, and none of them have reasonably sized parking lots. They're all pretty cramped.
Travis, did you see
does
that?
Does the mall have decent parking?
Yeah, mall's got great parking.
Mall's got plenty of parking. In fact, there was absolutely nobody there. We went like during the week, like when they opened, and there was nobody there. And guys, I'll give you my review of Mall of America. It's a big fucking mall.
It's a big mall.
It's a really big-ass mall.
They got an amusement park in the middle of it.
When you think you're done with mall, there's more mall.
Have you seen your third hot topic? Well, guess what? There's two more.
Yeah. Every time you say, "Oh shit, we're back at the M&M store," be like, "No, actually, there's like 20 M&M stores."
Do they got a Sparrows there?
Yeah, there was a Sparrows. We didn't eat there.
You might as well though.
Yeah,
oh shit. That's
we considered going to Margaritaville. Line was too long, and the Rainforest Cafe. Travis, the line was way too long.
Fucking Yelp on your phone, you can easily find good food.
We ate at a couple of places. We ate at a burger joint that had made a peanut butter burger.
I had one of those down in New Orleans.
And we ate at a pizza place called Toppers that I would say was fine.
Toppers is also a chain. We have one in the adjacent town next to us.
Oh. It's a chain?
Pretty good.
I've never had it. See, I've never had these
cheese
breads, Travis. So sure, they're chains, but they're not local to me.
It's like hand-tossed. First
but that's
of all,
like me.
You can,
that's
get,
like
you
me
can get Wahlburgers, Bubba Gump, and fucking Cheesecake Factory in St. Louis.
There is not a Wahlburgers here. Where is there a Wahlburgers?
Downtown.
That's like me going down to St. Louis.
I don't go
down
by Ballpark Village.
It's scary down there, drunk. I don't go. Travis,
I can't help it. You're a scaredy kid.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you that there's big news going on there. Like, what happened was there's this pipeline of gasoline that runs from New Jersey to Texas.
Colonial Pipeline.
Yeah, and. They shut that down today. What they said was that there's a hacker group called DarkSide that hacked them.
Released the Snyder Cut.
And so DarkSide didn't shut down the gas, but they shut down the gas because they were afraid of what DarkSide would do because DarkSide hacked them.
So he's looking for the anti-life equation.
Yeah, they shut down the gas so that DarkSide wouldn't do something worse than shutting down the gas.
Bring me Superman.
So, all one big conspiracy, right?
Well, I have a clip drunk where they explained who DarkSide is because I personally had never heard of DarkSide, and so I investigated. I found this clip, pretty excited about it.
Okay. The hacker group here is called DarkSide, as you mentioned. It was first spotted in August of 2020, and experts tell me today that the group essentially came out of nowhere and quickly became one of the most dangerous criminal gangs on the internet. The group that claims to be apolitical is notable for just how professionally they operate. They have a help desk and a call-in number, and they sell malware as a service to other criminal gangs.
So that excited me to find that out.
He said notable.
Notable?
Like notabled. He added an E-D at the end of
play it again. Let's see if we can hear it.
Notabled?
Yeah, take a look.
The group that claims to be apolitical is notable for just how...
Is notable the word? That's not a word, is it?
Do you think Ron Burgundy did it and just read what was on the teleprompter, or...
These guys are... They're notabled. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But so what happened is I got excited because what they said was that you can just call DarkSide...
Hey, I'm looking for malware.
And like get...
No, I'm not a tech guy. What does malware do?
You get Trojans on your shit. And
it's
then
like
they
a
steal,
virus?
They steal your identity.
Yeah, take your information and use it for nefarious deeds. Oh,
so, Travis, I went to their website. I looked up DarkSide's phone number. And I thought
that's convenient.
We would call them and like just get some customer service on being evil.
So what do we ask? Can we get malware, please?
Yeah. So if they answer drunk, just say, "Hi, I'm drunk. Can you please give me some malware?
Hi, I'm drunk. Can you please give me some malware? All right.
Do you need to write it down or you got
Get two.
Okay. Okay.
Get two malwares.
Ooh. Maybe we should all get a malware, Travis. Get three malwares.
Get three malwares. Yeah. I
won't. Hi, my name is drunk. I'm like three malwares. Okay.
Is that all they do is malwares, Travis, or can we get other things? Like,
I don't know. Well, I guess we could inquire.
Yeah, just be like, what other services do you offer?
We would like three malwares and...
Thank you for choosing Darkside. Your call is important to us.
Hi, my name is
Travis. You know, the guy is right. These guys are notable for professional. Like, this is legit.
Three malwares.
I would like three malwares.
Please continue to hold for our next available evil specialist.
Do you have any other services you offer?
No. Okay.
Oh, see if they got that slime from Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
Ghostbusters 2 slime?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not like a memorabilia place, Travis. They do evil stuff.
Well, yeah, I want to make like the one of those Confederate statues walk around.
Oh.
In a hurry to do your criminaling? Visit us on the web at darkside.org/crimehelp.
We gotta go do a commercial here soon. Is there no time for this?
Dump it.
Yeah, I get it. Fuck, man, that is a long hold. You'd think that they would have plenty of evil specialists standing by.
Maybe next
week. Maybe they got a chat function on darkside.org/crimehelp.
Yeah, maybe we could just like schedule something with one of them. Like you do with your bank when you want to talk about refinancing or something.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you would like to get a estimate on a new garage door, you just send like an email and say, when can we get together?
Maybe they got a PDF of like everything they offer too.
Or maybe
ooh,
you could just
a menu.
Send, in the chat, guest 163-61060, Travis, says the IVR didn't recognize your non-evil number. I think our number is probably in the evil database, I would hope.
I think it's in the evil database.
I mean, we have dicks in our name, Travis.
I mean, and we have pranked so many businesses.
You are the king
of
pranks.
So many businesses. I mean, didn't we call China to see what time their Taco Hut was open till?
No, a common misconception. I believe we called Taiwan, Travis.
I thought it was Malaysia.
Which they're different places. Taiwan and China, they're not the same. I guess we're making like a political stance by saying that.
I'm apolitical.
Yeah, me too. And we'll fit right in with Dark Side.
I think so.
In terms of when I was hearing all of this, it reminded me of a clip that we played a long time ago. I went back and found it. It was this guy. You probably recognize him.
Wow. Holy crap. They're hacking us in real time.
Yeah, because like they got hacked, but like... They turned it off on their own, and now they're going to be like, oh, I guess gas costs more now, guys.
Well, that's the problem. Like, if people
It's all part of the Hollywood pedophilia conspiracy.
If people just use gas at a normal clip, we'd be fine.
Well, then they'll all panic.
But now
I've already seen people panic. The people have been posting pictures on Facebook and other social media platforms where they see ridiculous people just filling up, like, 10 of those, like, gigantic gas cans.
Well, that's the thing. So now everybody's in freakout mode. So now we actually will run out of gas.
Well, we're going to do, guys. We're going to take a break. We're going to regroup. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott. He has a new book coming out. It's called Original Sin, From Preacher's Kid to the Creation of CinemaSins. So stick around. We'll be back.
We're not critics, we're assholes, but our closest friends still come up and ask, hey, what's your next movie you're going to review? So I guess we're both critics and assholes. Everyone thinks Jeremy, the narrator, has a crush on Anna Kendrick, when in reality, everyone has a crush on Anna Kendrick.
Hey, fuckwads, did you know that we're on the TuneIn app for your smartphones?
Wherever you go.
That's right, take us anywhere. Take us to the fucking mall, take us to the boat, take them in your car, do whatever the fuck you want. You can listen 24 hours a day to StrangeLabel.com. Download the app, search for Strange Label. StrangeLabel.com. on your phone. Phone.
Hi, I'm Dan Ferraro, and I'm listening to WFOD.
Guys, Zordon needs us.
All right, let's go.
We're here, Zordon.
Whoa, 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 Jason. Noticed you're not. Noticed you aren't wearing any red today.
You know, good on you, Zordon. I wasn't going to say anything, but I totally noticed that.
Yeah, sorry, guys. My mom got it for me for my birthday. She said I need to get past this and vary my wardrobe a bit. Obviously, I can't tell her the real reason, and if she doesn't see me wear it at least a couple times, she'll think I don't like it, and it'll hurt her feelings.
I mean, fuck, at least I got some color to work with. People here at school think I'm into Satan or some shit.
Yeah, pretty much nothing cute comes in yellow.
All right. Whatever. Rangers, Ivan Ooze has a giant moth creature terrorizing an empty field. You need to stop the... I'm sorry, this is really distracting me. Alpha?
Yes, Zordon?
Can you get him the red cowboy hat?
I'll get it right away!
Yeehaw.
I guess I woke up this morning with a little case of the fuck arounds.
And I said, what about Ant-Man and the Wasp? She said, I think it was perfectly fine. And as I recall, I think Michelle Pfeiffer's still hot. And I said, well, that's one thing we've got.
Once again, WFOD.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is the voice and co-creator of the popular YouTube channel Cinema Sins. His new memoir is called Original Sin, From Preacher's Kid to the Creation of Cinema Sins. And it will be in bookstores May 18th. Jeremy Scott is on the program. Jeremy, how's it going, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. I'm very honored.
Thanks for doing it. I called it a memoir, but it's not really like a memoir. It's kind of jumps around a bit.
A mix, right? It's kind of got some humor and some how CinemaSins came about and some YouTube advice and some memoir stuff. It's kind of a weird blend, but we're marketing it as a memoir just because that seems to be what people understand.
I guess there isn't really a category for all that stuff you just said.
Not really. No, I mean, I'm happy to start the category if, you know, the literature world wants to come along and write more books like this.
Jeremy, I read it. It's a good read. It's a quick read. I got it done in a weekend on vacation, which is fun. And you seem to have a lot of affinity for your days. You worked at a Regal Cinema. Am I allowed to say that?
Sure. Sure, it's a matter of public record. Yes.
We end up
there. That's some of my fondest days. You know, part of the book is growing up as a preacher's kid. I didn't get to see a lot of movies, and I got to college and on my own and started watching movies. And within 6 months, I was working at a movie theater. And once they started letting me in the booth to, like, you know, take the reels and put them together and make the whole film and thread the projector and watch the movie for mistakes and get paid to do so, I was hooked like heroin. Like, you know, I don't want to make light of, I guess, of heroin, but I was like a drug for me.
So does that in a way kind of make you feel part of the movie making process, I guess? It kind of puts you in it. You have like a sense of pride in doing a good job splicing them together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the generation that came before me had even more of that sense of pride and work ethic. I'm talking mostly union projectionists before all the manager projectionists came in and took their jobs. But, you know, for Chris and I, who co-founded CinemaSins with me, we both took it very seriously. And I think it was as close as we felt we would ever get to being a part of the movie industry. And we certainly impacted presentation, audio, visual, focus, speaker issues. Like, we took all that very seriously, even though, honestly, most of our coworkers did not.
Do you go out and tell people, hey, man, I did that? That was me. I'm the one that I mean, like, were you known in the area as being like exceptional at it?
You know, not, I mean, nobody really cared if you didn't really, if you didn't really know the job. Nobody was all that impressed with it. I'll be honest.
It's kind of like the offensive lineman.
You know, football. There was one day we had 27 screens, man. And there was one day that a guy called out, and usually there are two people in the booth. You split. One has 14 projectors. One has 13 projectors. And I did all 27 of them for a full 6 hours. And that's like running full speed at times. And I was incredibly proud of that. And I had four roommates at the time who were all close friends, and none of them gave a rat's ass at all. They were all like, that's great. That sounds awesome. Let's go play video games.
Yeah, so you never encountered somebody where you said, oh, hey, you were at that 2 p.m. showing of The Bourne Identity? Well, I was the projectionist for that. Nobody was ever excited.
No, I don't think so. I mean, only my friends, whenever I let them in, and then they would like turn and look at the projection booth and wave at me in the little window.
Now, when I was reading about your upbringing and you not being able to watch movies, it reminded me of a friend of ours who said that he wasn't able to watch the Smurfs when he was a kid because his parents thought they were satanic. Did your parents have a similar hatred of the Smurfs? Or
No. I think every conservative, you know, quote unquote, strict Christian upbringing draws its own lines, maybe. The Smurfs were okay in my book.
The Smurfs were fine. I think it was because there was like a wizard in it.
My family's house is The Simpsons. Still to this day, you cannot watch The Simpsons in my parents' house.
Oh, because of the violence?
It was largely about the rating for the most part. If there's going to be swears in it, then my parents were like, I don't think so. So
were you able to do like Poltergeist then? Like, wasn't that PG?
All right, let me clarify what I just said.
Do you think that in a way that made you want to get into movies more? Like it was kind of like a reverse psychology thing, like you were like rebelling?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, Streisand effect before the internet. You know, it was you tell a kid enough times, that's not for you. Eventually the kid's going to be like, I think maybe that's for me. And, you know, I understand. And I think it comes across in the book that I have a lot of respect and love from my parents, both of them. I understand where they came from. Every parent has to draw their own lines, and it's not easy. I'm not a parent, so yeah. I don't claim to know, but I know it's difficult. I respect the decisions they made. But yeah, I think in part that led me to run full speed right at the movies and embrace it.
I don't know the term Streisand effect. I think you even referenced it in the book, and I didn't Google it. What is the Streisand effect?
So it started with Streisand, and I honestly don't remember if it was an image or a video file, but she demanded the internet remove it. And the internet was just like, ha ha, we're going to post it in 10,000 places. And so it got a name, like a lot of internet laws. There's even a famous Beyonce one where her publicist tried to wipe a still shot from one of her performances off the internet.
Oh, is that just, when she was at the Super Bowl and like she looked like she was?
That's the one where the people photoshopped her onto Battle Cat like she was He-Man.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So the Streisand effect is simply by calling the attention to something you want to get rid of. You dare the internet to double down. Right. Is essentially
how did your parents react then? And obviously, when you left home and got so into movies and obviously started a career based on movies, did you get any pushback then when you were gone? Or did they kind of embrace the fact that you were your own man and could make your own decisions at that point?
I think the pushback that I felt, if there was any, was all in my head. They never gave me any. I think I was afraid of some, but. No, they may have at times wished I had gone in a different direction career wise, but they never said even so much as that to me. So I credit them for that.
So really that's, I mean, like you said, like as parents, you kind of try to, you know, shelter your kids and try to give them the best possible upbringing, and whatever happens kind of happens, I guess, as long as you're, you know, happy and healthy, I guess it makes complete sense. I go the opposite way with my kids. My 9-year-old and 12-year-old, we watched the original Child's Play last night after we watched Zombieland. So
awesome. Oh, my. Oh,
kind of
my.
Kind of free reign over here, which much to the chagrin of my wife, who kind of just called out. He's like, whatever.
Everybody draws their own lines. Yeah, so man, yeah. I get it.
In like a cyclical way, where will that have Travis's kids end up?
Maybe they'll become preachers.
So you just force feed them as much horror as you can.
Yep.
So that when they're adults, they don't want it anymore.
They'll start a soup kitchen.
The other direction. That's beautiful. Yeah, I love right. it.
So Jeremy, going into the YouTube area, when you started CinemaSins, obviously things don't just take off overnight, right? Like, when did you notice that people were actually paying attention to what you were putting out there, and how did that feel when it kind of took off?
It felt pretty good, man. Now, we'd done several channels prior that failed, but at least one of them had gotten a few videos written about, where we did these supercuts of like just all the kicks from Kickboxer. It was silly stuff like that. But those would get written about, but we never got any kind of like subscriber foundation, no fan base going. They were sort of like a one-off kind of content. And so I think once the subscriber count got up to 30,000, which was within a couple months, I think, was when I was like, okay, so we never got more than 1,000 doing those supercuts. Now we have 30 times that doing these. But honestly, I don't truly think it was until we got that first check from YouTube, which, you know, didn't feel like it was actually going to be real. Neither one of us quit doing what we were doing for a living until we actually got a physical check from YouTube, and we're like, wow, this is real. That's amazing.
I guess this is what we can do now. YouTube is paying us for doing this.
I mean, I'm riding that wave much longer than I thought it would last, and I will continue to ride it until it takes me to the shore.
Do you still kind of think it could like fall apart at any second? Like, are you, because I kind of got that vibe reading the book, is that, you know, you said, yeah, a lot of this is luck. And I mean, you know, sure, some of it's luck, but a lot of it's just, you know, working your ass off and making connections.
Sure. And, sure. I mean, I don't worry about necessarily the viewers going away, because even during the pandemic, we've seen our library from the last 9 years do really well in terms of views. I worry more about legal stuff that could make an already complex copyright system weighted in favor of the studios.
We know all
even
know
worse.
About that.
And
yeah, we.
Oh, you're familiar, are you?
we've gotten a little bit of trouble recently ourselves. We were doing a bad thing that we shouldn't.
After 400 and some episodes, where they come after you and say, "Hey, you're using copyright material in your show."
yeah, this episode you did like, 2 years okay. ago, it had a song.
Yeah.
In it.
So I worry that laws might change at some point to make it, you know, an even more difficult place for fair use content, like the kind of stuff we make. But I try not to lose too much sleep over it. I feel like the best karmic outlook is that we're already living on borrowed time, and we should remain thankful. So I try and stay there.
So what goes into choosing the next movie?
Ooh. Well, you'd have to interview Chris for that because he has 100% control on the schedule. But I do know some of the things. In a perfect non-pandemic world, we try and pair things up with what's coming out that weekend in theaters. We call it tent polling. So
absolutely.
If there's a new Fast and Furious 12 coming out, we might try and do a Sins video of Fast and Furious 9 or whichever one we haven't gotten to yet. A lot of movie channels on YouTube do this. It's just common sense. More people are going to be searching for that stuff.
Yeah, sure. Hey, what happened in those first 8 Fast and Furious movies? I need a recap.
That franchise, as well as like the Marvel universe, has to be the gift that keeps on giving too. As long as you haven't covered them all, it's ripe.
Well, in the way that the YouTube algorithm works, especially the recommended videos, the suggested videos, it all feeds back in on itself for that stuff. So, you know, when the new Thor movie comes out, all 3 of the videos we've done for the first 3 Thor movies are going to get a huge boost. And it's just the way the algorithm directs the flow of eyeballs, I guess.
Would you say, Jeremy, that we haven't ever gone into YouTube or video or anything, but we've been dancing with the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that a good week to probably test it out would be like if you have a guest who's pretty well known on YouTube? That would have been the good week to try it out, right? Like if you just had somebody who was noteworthy on YouTube as a guest, that would have been a great week to try out YouTube, right?
It's possible. I don't know. I looked through some of your show history. You've interviewed some really big stars, and I would think a lot of them would move the needle.
None of them did, Jeremy. None of them.
None of them.
None of them moved the needle at all.
Oh, that's
a bummer. We're incredibly unsuccessful. Help us.
Well, I have had success with YouTube. I am as yet still pretty unsuccessful as an author, but regardless, I will spread the news of this show far and wide on all the Twitters I control passwords to, and send you some listeners for sure. And
appreciate it, Jeremy. A lot.
You guys are awesome. I've been enjoying this more than I expected.
Thank you.
Hey, do you talk publicly about your hearing loss? Is that something that I can ask you about, or is that weird to
absolutely
ask you about? Because did that just happen, or did it gradually go away over time? Or
it's probably gradually gone away. A lot of the movie theater years in the projection booth, those years I fondly recall, I think did some damage. And it was mostly the first 6 or 7 years of marriage with my wife, when she sort of got tired of repeating herself or me having the TV up really loud and asked me to go check my hearing. And I thought, you know, okay, it's might be 10% off. And it was like, I have like 48% of it left. It was like more than half gone.
So she just thought that you were being inconsiderate and playing stuff too loud.
No, she thought I had hearing loss for sure. Oh. She just wanted me to address it.
Well, that's not the typical wife thought about that. Usually they just think you're ignoring them.
I mean, so I'm sure it was that for wife. The first year or so. Like, why does he always keep the TV so loud?
So there wasn't an event that caused your hearing to go away. It just kind of over time.
Yeah.
Has it been a long time that it's been as bad as it's been?
I mean, I had that diagnosis about 8 years ago. Oh. So,
but it probably was going on long before that, and you just didn't know about it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, has to have. And I went to a lot of concerts, and, you know, I worked in loud projector booths for, you know, 8 or 9 years, and could be in a number of things. I think there's probably some genetic stuff in there, too. But I don't mind talking about it, because it's one of the reasons I started writing some of the books that I write. I read a series of books about disabled superheroes, and a lot of that was embracing my own, you know, disability.
Is the Ables, right? That's the name of it?
Yes.
I saw that. Have you been writing a lot more during the pandemic?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I've been writing like a fool. I just turned in a manuscript for a murder mystery that's not young adult, and it's not a memoir. Thank God. And yeah, I have two other books I'm working on. The pandemic, if nothing else, has been good for my writing.
So when it comes back to the CinemaSins, does everybody have input on the jokes and the script writing, or is that more one person's job, or how does that work?
We are awesomely lucky to be able to employ a total of six people now. That includes Chris and I, who started the channel. And Chris and I ultimately have the final say. We review, one of us reviews every script, but we divide them up now. So you watch, you know, a month's worth of our content. There may only be three videos that I actually wrote sins for, even though I narrate them all.
So
you know,
who's the one with the sharp eye? Because you guys catch a lot of people, things that the normal viewer wouldn't actually catch.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But it's always a group effort. There's always at least two people writing the original script and then at least one shadow. And, you know, we just, you know, developed this voice over time and then rolled in some new people's voices. And, you know, I'm very happy without looking at some scripts until I go to narrate them. I have that much faith in what we've developed. But yeah, I think ultimately Chris and I have the final say, or final cut if we were directors. But
well, your voice can sell anything. You have a voice for audio, so even if the script was completely terrible, I think the video would still be good because your narration is amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. I do have a face for radio.
So I know it's like asking which one's your favorite kid, but do you prefer CinemaSins or the TV Sins?
Oh, I don't. I mean, I try not to have a preference. TV Sins has been sort of developed by Aaron and Jonathan and Danae, our three writers. And they conceived of it and have grown it. And I narrated it at first. But I'm really proud of it. I'm really impressed with it. But I have very little to do with it. I guess ultimately I'm just proud of the whole thing. I'm proud of the fact that there are four people beyond Chris and I that make a full-time job writing these stupid jokes about movies and TV and commercials and music videos.
Well, there has to be a sense of pride for the fact that you're able to do a spin-off show based on what you guys have created. So, I mean, kudos to you for creating what you've created and the fact that it, you know, keeps on keeping on.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I view it the same way. I'm happy for every day of this success, and I won't be bitter if it ever goes away.
Guys, the book is called Original Sin, From Preacher's Kid to the Creation of CinemaSins. It's in bookstores May 18th. Do you have somewhere special you want me to send people, or just Amazon? Or?
Yeah, Amazon. You can Google it. You can go to CinemaSins.com. There should be a link on the homepage there. But the internet should help you out. Google is your friend.
Guys, at JScottTN on Twitter or the CinemaSins Twitter account, just CinemaSins. They're both you, right?
That's true. They're both me.
So send Jeremy a tweet. Tell him you heard him here. Jeremy, we appreciate your time, man. It was fun. Yeah. And when the next book comes out, we should do it again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. And I mean it. It was an honor to be here.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, whenever you're ready to do podcast sins, let us know.
All right.
Take it easy, guys. Take it easy, man. Mike says Travis too much. That was fun, Travis. I like Jeremy. He's a nice guy.
I do too. Yeah.
Good and, time.
You know, if I can say one thing, I'd be hard pressed to be able to come up with one guest that we've had on where Drunk said more than two words.
Drunk was jazzed to talk to Jeremy, man. Before the show, he was like, hey, I watch that guy's stuff all the time. I love this CinemaSins.
It's funny, too, because whenever he first said CinemaSins guy in the little doc, I didn't even really catch it. And then I looked at it earlier today. I was like, hold on, like the
CinemaSins
guy? Like the guy I watch like an hour of every night.
I had a whole thread of hearing loss questions, Travis. I was going to try to make him cry or something. And Drunk's like, so when do you pick the next movie? I was like, oh.
I didn't even get to do my suggestions.
What's your suggestion, Drunk?
Mike's trying to pull.
He'll listen back.
Drunk's like, Drunk is like the Chris Farley character. Like, remember when you did that thing? That's cool.
That was so cool, man.
Drunk, I'm not.
Remember when you did the new Jurassic Park, man?
Drunk, I'm not discouraging you from speaking up. Kudos, buddy.
Kudos to you, buddy.
And by the way, not breathing real heavy lately.
He asked the question and then he asked the follow up.
I know he's on fire, Travis.
They weren't horrible questions.
No, you were great, Drunk. You were great. And if anybody tweets you and say you weren't great, you send them to me, and I'm going to tell them to go fuck themselves.
Thank you. Well, anyway, my suggestion.
Hey, you're my guy.
Thank you, sir.
All right, go ahead.
My suggestion to him was going to be, I noticed he doesn't have much in the line of stoner movies. So next year on the 420 week, he needs to have, like, you know, a week of Half-Baked and How High. And
Are those the definitive stoner movies, Drunk? Half-Baked, How High?
Jay and Silent Bob.
Which one?
Strike Back, of course.
Is that a high a stoner movie?
Oh, it's based on the tales of Blunt Man and Chronic. You tell me.
Okay. Travis, can you think of it? I guess Dazed and Confused, that's got to be in there, right?
Yeah, maybe, even though this is a little bit more of Harder Drugs, probably like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's not really like a stoner movie.
Buffalo 66 was a movie I watched when I was in my teenage years smoking a lot of weed.
One? Is that the one that Christina Ricci dances in the bowling alley, Travis?
That's the one.
Rolling Kansas is pretty good.
What else was good? What else did I watch when I was high all the time?
Cheech and Chong, guys?
Cheech and Chong.
What about the one with Method Man and Red Man?
That was How High.
Oh, did you mention
that's
that?
That's How High.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would have been my suggestion. He's got a whole year to prepare. Next 420 week, have 420 movies.
Yeah. That is good advice.
I like your suggestion.
I'm sure he's already.
That's a knowledgeable.
Get him back on the phone, Travis.
Yeah. Don, calling him. Hey, we got a suggestion for you for your wildly popular YouTube channel.
Right, which you probably get suggestions daily for. We're going to try again. So three malwares. See what else they got.
Ghostbusters 2 slime.
Okay.
Travis, do you have what you say is a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about, Travis?
No.
Nope. No pick of the week, Travis?
Nope.
Wow. Hey, you know what? I do have a pick of the week this week, guys. And I'm going to start off by saying, you remember how last week we said that we all loved Mortal Kombat, even though it was pretty much
great
trash?
Great movie.
Yep.
Travis.
Well, maybe not great. Very good movie.
Great movie, not good.
My wife and I, in the course, we pretty much watched all of it yesterday, but we watched like the last one or two today. We watched the whole first season of Jupiter's Legacy.
Oh, that's Mark Miller, a comic I never read.
And guys,
so does this have anything to do with that Mila Kunis movie?
No. Okay. No, absolutely
it's independent
nothing.
Of that.
If you watch the trailer, which we
it's
did.
It's not in the Jupiter cinematic universe.
Okay. The trailer makes it look fucking stupid. It's a terrible trailer.
Isn't Josh Duhamel in that?
Yeah. Yeah. Did say that last name again?
Duhamel?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Win a date with Tad Hamilton.
That guy.
Who sometimes you think is Timothy Olyphant, but with less edge.
And sometimes you think he's David Boreanaz.
So the show
Don't Call Me Bones
is not particularly good, but it's great. And we watched it all pretty much in one sitting because it kept our attention. Now, all of the fights take place in a open cornfield, like a field, like Power Rangers. They always encounter the villains in fields.
Oh, because they don't have the budget to have city destruction?
Yeah, yeah. Like the bad guys just go out in a field and say, come fight me, bro. And then they all fight. It's a silly show. It's not a good show. But I enjoyed it a lot. So Jupiter's Legacy, I would say, is my pick of the week. Drunk pick of the week, Drunk?
Yeah, Drunk's pick of the week is CinemaSins and TV Sins on YouTube. check out Jeremy and his narrations.
Yep. And the book, it's a good listen, a good read. It's a quick read. It's called Original Sin. Check it out. Charlie, you don't have a pick of the week, really? Travis?
No, man. I have nothing nothing stood out this week. All the things, all the media I consumed, of the things I've experienced, nothing stood out.
Wow. Wahlburgers is pretty good.
Fried Berry was pretty good on Shudder. It's a South African sci-fi / horror movie. It's Joe Bob just did it in the last drive-in. But you know, I wouldn't say it's a pick of the week. No, forget it. Forget I said anything.
Okay, but if you did have one, that might be it.
If I did have one, it'd probably be that. That's probably the best thing I've encountered this week. But I don't have one.
Okay. Well, if you think of one later, let me know. Okay,
I'll add it in post.
Put it in post.
Yeah, I'll tweet it out.
Guys, we did it. It was a good time. We learned a lot, and I think more than like, oh shit, Travis.
Yeah.
I got to tell you a story real quick.
Please do.
Exactly a year ago, we did a show.
To the day?
Well, not on the exact day, but a Tuesday really close to this Tuesday only a year ago. And what we did is we talked about, did you know that you can schedule Gmail 49 years in advance?
I did not know that.
Okay, so a year ago, almost to the day, we did a show where I told the story of the palm reading lady that kept emailing me talking about canceling an appearance that she never made, and then rescheduling it and then like asking for the file.
Oh,
do you remember this, Travis?
Oh, I do remember that.
It was a year ago.
I do remember this.
And what I did is I did like one of my little tricks on myself where a year ago I sabotaged myself and replied to her email a year later. And so the palm reading lady got the email 2 days ago and replied, Travis. I was trying to book because we made a joke. I wish I had pulled the clip. We made a joke. I'll add it right here in the podcast version.
And
but she keeps emailing me like it's a reply to an email sent to her. But why doesn't she just reply to the email sent to her? Why is she sending me a new message that says, hey, I'm replying to you sending me this thing. Why is that happening?
Listen, maybe what is going on here, since she has obviously tapped into the metaphysical, is that maybe she's on our show next year and she, in her mind,
shit.
And is responding.
Travis, I didn't even think of that.
That's going to happen.
Oh, Travis, we got to book her now.
Now, this has really fucked me up.
May 20th, 2021, right?
Yeah.
Whew.
Bloop.
Because she was talking about doing a show that she didn't do. And it was weird. And so somebody suggested, it might have been Matt, suggested that like she was a time traveler and that she had done the show a year later and like sent an email back. It was a weird conversation. It got deep. And so I thought this was funny. And so I booked this lady for like next week in advance a year ago. To send her an email like 2 days ago, and she got it and she agreed to do the show, but then she researched us and decided not to do the show. So after
all the amount of awesome guests we've had, she decided not to do
well,
our show.
After sending me like 10 emails about
saying she missed the show.
Yeah, that she wanted to do it, but was busy or like, I think she got sick or something. This is the reply I got. So at 5:20 p.m. Hi, Mike. I can do 5:25 at 8:30. I'm in Florida, so what time would that be here? And then 2 minutes after that, replied, "Cancel show with me. I'm 81 and things like this do not relate. Sorry."
You should be like, we've had people older than 81 on our show.
So the palm reading lady, she rejected us in the end, Travis, and I'm so embarrassed.
And she almost rejected us a year in the future. A year in the past.
Yeah, on May 22nd.
Really messes with my head.
So I thought it would be fun to play a joke on myself and email this woman a year later. "Hi, Mike. Thanks for sending me the tape of the show so fast. I listened to it and laughed. I will post it on my Facebook page and website. Send me a copy of your palm and age, and I will do your reading." That was on May 22nd, 2020. And then I replied May 7th, 2021. I play little jokes on myself, Travis. It's a bit I do.
Well, and then they come back to bite you because now you've been rejected and now you're going to have to live with that.
Now I feel terrible about myself. I'm like, that hour flew by, Travis. I'd say we just did a good show, but now I'm just thinking about Palm Lady told me no.
The lady you didn't necessarily want in the first place.
No, I just wanted her for the bit.
Mm-hmm. Don't play jokes on yourself, Mike. Even if it's going to be a year in the future, it'll bite you in the ass.
No more jokes, except I'm going to schedule talk to her again in a year.
Yeah, absolutely do that.
I'm Dildin.
Not a bird.
Damn.
Fuck you, Crones.
Suck my dick, Crones. I love it. That spawned from me shouting "Fuck off, Crones!" every time it popped up on TV, and my children laughing hysterically.
That's funny.
I am a great dad.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. To enjoy our back catalog, visit WFODshow.com and be sure to share the show with a friend. Thank you to our Patreon sponsors for their continued support: Amanda Napier, Liquid Lozenge, Valerie Carpenter, and Brian Kranz. If you would like to donate to keep this pirate ship afloat, visit patreon.com/WFODix. Follow us on social media, email any one of us with our name at WFODshow.com, or leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. A thank you also goes out to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music we used this week. Until next time, signing off. Goodbye.
want you to know it's over.